Now from the KSFR Newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Thursday, November 7th.
New Mexico State Police are investigating an officer-involved shooting in Santa Fe in the vicinity of Camino Carlos Rey and Siringo Road. Sergeant Emmanuel Gutierrez is with the state police.
The pursuit was called out at 1:14 a.m. in the morning, and then calls were received into dispatch of shots being fired at 1:18 a.m. There were two occupants in the vehicle, a female driver and one male passenger. At this time, the female driver is deceased. Male subject was transported to the local hospital as a precaution. And regarding this incident, it was involving just one New Mexico State Police officer.
The deceased has been identified as 39-year-old Jeanette Anaya of Santa Fe. Sergeant Gutierrez says it's not known why Anaya was fleeing officers. He adds that interviews are being conducted with the one officer involved as well as witnesses. And he adds that the road closure on Camino Carlos Rey between Rodeo and Siringo Roads will last a while longer.
They're going to be closed, and I would say, you know, ballpark Friday about 4 o'clock p.m., assuming that they won't be back open again.
Sergeant Emmanuel Gutierrez with the state police. A poll shows City Councilor Patty Boucher leading the crowded field in the Santa Fe mayoral race with the support of 24% of likely voters. However, nearly 40% of those polled indicate they are undecided. Following Boucher in the survey are former Democratic Party of New Mexico Chairman Javier Gonzalez and City Councilor Bill Demas, each at 11%. The poll was commissioned by Progress Now New Mexico and conducted in late October. UNM's Hospital Employees Union plans public discussion today of its decision to file a prohibited practice complaint against the hospital's mandatory flu shot policy. The union says it has two basic concerns. One is the stripping of negotiation rights on terms for employment. The other, the need for UNM Hospital to assume medical and financial responsibility for any employee having an adverse reaction to flu shots. In October, the hospital ordered all employees to receive the shots by December 1st or face disciplinary action that could include firing. The New Mexico Unites for Marriage campaign will be announced today on Albuquerque Civic Plaza to support the freedom to marry. The effort is backed by Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham, former Governor Gary Johnson, the American Civil Liberties Union, and others. The campaign comes as the state Supreme Court decides the legal future of same-sex marriages in New Mexico. Santa Fe County residents can participate in the National Citizen Survey online to tell county officials what they think about county services. Spokeswoman Christine Mihalsik says the survey is available on the Santa Fe County NM.gov website.
And under Hot Topics, there will be a link that says Santa Fe County Citizen Survey. From there, they can access the actual survey.
Mihalsik says the survey covers topics including public safety, health and wellness, and the national environment in Santa Fe County. The results, expected early in 2014, will guide county officials in budgeting and planning decision-making. Albuquerque Public School Superintendent Winston Brooks on Tuesday sent Twitter messages to a TV reporter that derided New Mexico's education chief Hannah Scandera, likening her to livestock. The Albuquerque Journal reports that the social media exchange with a KOAT reporter covering an event near a truckload of animals had Brooks suggesting, quote, maybe Scandy should head for the livestock truck, and he followed that with another tweet saying, moo moo, oink oink. Governor Susana Martinez suggested Brooks's comments were sexist as well as unprofessional. For his part, Brooks has apologized and removed the tweets. Former City of Albuquerque Chief Administrative Officer Lawrence Rael will soon announce his bid for the Democratic nomination for New Mexico governor. Political blogger Joe Monahan writes that Rael's announcement is forthcoming. In addition to his urban government experience, Rael was director at the Mid-Region Council of Governments and recently served as state director of the USDA Farm Service. Rael's announcement would bring the number of Democrats seeking a shot at Republican Governor Susana Martinez to 5. The New Mexico AAA says the statewide average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline in the state is now $3.07. That price is 4 cents less than a week ago and 36 cents less than a year ago. Of the major metropolitan areas surveyed in New Mexico, Santa Fe drivers are paying the most at $2.99 per gallon. Drivers in Albuquerque are paying the least at $2.95. Weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny and dry today and throughout the weekend. Look for highs in the mid-50s today and near 60 later in the period. Overnight lows will be near 30 degrees. No significant change is expected until early next week. I'm Tom Tropridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And taking a look at some other news making headlines at midday. Embattled Toronto Mayor Rob Ford is embroiled in a fresh controversy over a video which shows him threatening to commit first-degree murder. As he resists calls to quit following his admission this week that he had smoked crack cocaine, Toronto media released a clip of the mayor in a rage. Ford is shown gesticulating during a foul-mouthed rant in which he threatens to kill an unknown person. He has apologized for the video, saying he was extremely, extremely inebriated. The U.S. economy grew at a pace of 2.8% in the third quarter of the year, latest figures show. The growth rate was faster than expected and was an improvement on the 2.5% pace seen in the previous quarter. Growth was lifted by rising exports, businesses restocking shelves, and a pickup in home construction. However, the pace of growth in consumer spending, which accounts for about two-thirds of U.S. economic activity, slowed from the previous quarter. On Wall Street, the big story of the day is the debut of Twitter on the New York Stock Exchange. Twitter shares were priced to open at $26 each. Whether anyone managed to accomplish a purchase at that price is in doubt. It immediately went to $44. It's currently trading at $46.50 a share. That's 78% higher than its initial offering. And as for the big board on Wall Street, the Dow currently off 98 points at 15,648, the NASDAQ down 55 at 3,876, and the S&P 500 down 16. It stands at 1,753. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
13 minutes past the hour, as at noon, now segues to today's feature stories. The Office of the Superintendent of Insurance has issued a directive advising all insurers in the state that they must treat equally and without discrimination all holders of valid marriage licenses, irrespective of gender. Joining us now to talk more about this is John Garrity, Compliance Director for the Office of Superintendent of Insurance. I want to note before we begin that though our guest and I share a common surname, we are not related. John, tell us, how did this directive come to be issued?
This directive was based on a complaint that I had received from a couple, two gentlemen, who were married in another state, moved to New Mexico, purchased a home, and they were not given the marriage credit that opposite-sex couples were given. I looked into the matter and felt it was discriminatory. The superintendent agreed with me. The underlying company in that particular case, once I had a conversation with them, they agreed to provide these gentlemen with the discount. And trying to stay ahead of the curve, we decided to alert all the insurance companies that we expect that marital discount to be applied to anybody, no matter what sex they are, if they have a valid marriage certificate.
And so your office decided to be proactive and put out a clear-cut policy statement to avoid any further confusion, yes?
Absolutely, it was proactive. It's our position to take the offense on these types of issues because you can only score points on the offense. You can't score them on the defense. And we are taking the offense on many positions and alerting the public. Our primary mission here is to protect the insurance public in New Mexico, whether it be on this type of situation or any type. So we're working hard to protect our New Mexico consumers.
And let's talk about the benefits and discounts this might apply to, as marriage confers many both at the federal and state levels.
Correct. Now, on the federal level, we have a little jurisdiction. On the state level, under the insurance code, insurance companies are allowed, when they make their rate and filing with us, to offer a marriage discount. And It doesn't specifically say in the insurance code that it's opposite-sex marriage, same-sex marriage, or anything. It does not describe it. It just says if the parties are married. So we're not going to, you know, take a position on the marriage. We're just saying if there is a valid marriage certificate issued by any jurisdiction, we expect these insurance companies to honor that and provide that discount. Now, if an insurance company does not offer that discount, obviously it would not apply.
Do you expect any opposition to this policy?
No. As a matter of fact, most of the insurance companies have contacted us and told me they already are doing that, and they already agree that a marriage certificate is a marriage certificate, period. And they were pleased that we took this position to clarify it.
And you mentioned at the top two married fellows who made you aware of inequitable treatment. What's the now recommended course of action should other same-sex couples experience the same thing?
If they have complaints specifically related to this, they can contact me. If they have general complaints, if their claims aren't getting paid, if they just want to question their policy and have us review it for them to make sure that it meets their needs, we're glad to do that. We have a consumer division that's all they do is help consumers. I oversee that division, and that is something that we ask all consumers to do. If you've got questions about any type of insurance, you can contact us at 505-827-4601, and you'll be put in touch with the proper staff member to look at your specific issue. We have different bureaus for auto and homeowners and life and health insurance and all different types of programs that are out there. So we can hook you up with a specialized staff member to help you.
And John, just to be clear on what the directive assures to same-sex couples, we have some 1,400 such marriages now licensed here in New Mexico, and we have couples whose marriages were performed in other states. This is applicable to all, correct?
Yes, sir, it is. Anyone that holds a valid marriage certificate, no matter where it was issued, whether it was in-state or out-of-state, we expect the insurance companies to provide them the marriage discount benefit.
Any other thoughts on the matter?
Our new superintendent, John Franchini, is really pushing to help the consumers. He's given us all at the OSI that directive, and we look forward to helping any consumer that's got a problem. Call us. We're here to help.
And before we let you go, we should mention that your office now operates autonomously as it was separated earlier this year from the Public Regulation Commission.
That is correct. As of July 1st, we became a standalone agency. The superintendent was appointed through a committee that was established by the legislature. And we don't report to anyone. We're not under the governor's control. We are, as I say, a standalone agency. And our goal is to regulate all the insurance business in the state. We've developed a new website, which is www.osi.state.nm.us. And I believe if people will visit that site, they will see a lot of new data that wasn't available to them before. For example, we now have on our site a premium comparison guide where you can go in and put in general information for auto, homeowners, renters, work comp, various types of insurance, and find out every company that writes that product in New Mexico and how much they're going to charge you. People are generally shocked at the difference, and I will use myself for an example. I plugged in my house here in Santa Fe with the general information. The low premium was about $800 a year. The high premium was over $7,000 a year for exactly the same type of policy. So there's a big market change. Different companies charge different prices, and consumers need to be aware of that and price shop. We all pay too much for insurance, so we're striving to notify the consumers on how they can lower their overall insurance premiums.
John Garrity, Compliance Director for the Office of Superintendent of Insurance. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
The Lenzic proudly presents Ballet Folclórico da Bahia, the electrifying dance company from Brazil, on Wednesday, November 13th at 7. It's a celebration of Afro-Brazilian culture with more than 36 dancers, singers, and musicians performing samba, capoeira, carnival dances, and more. For tickets to see Ballet Folclórico da Bahia on November 13th, call 988-1234 or visit TicketSantaFe.org. The Lenzic is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
20 minutes past the hour, as At Noon continues, drug abuse in New Mexico, both by means of prescription pharmaceuticals and illicit street drugs, has been a vexing problem for our state. For years now, New Mexico has had the unfortunate distinction of having one of the highest overdose mortality rates in all the nation. But there may be a glimmer of hope with a new report just out. Joining us to talk about the issue is Michael Landon, state epidemiologist with the Department of Health. Michael, can you tell us about the new findings?
Yes. The Trust for America's Health, which reviews the nation's public health activity, concluded that based on a review of 10 key policies to address prescription drug overdose, that New Mexico and Vermont led the nation in having 10 out of 10 of these policies in place.
What policies specifically are being credited?
Right. Where New Mexico stood out was in a couple of areas. Many of the policies most states have in place, like a prescription monitoring program, where healthcare providers can go in to see what controlled substance prescriptions their patients have received from other providers. So we have that, like most states has that. Where we go beyond that and where we got sort of extra credit was the mandatory use of the prescription monitoring program. So several of our licensing boards have implemented rules requiring that healthcare providers actually check the prescription monitoring program in certain situations for their patients who are on chronic pain medications. So this is we stand out on that one. We also stand out on requiring that our healthcare providers get mandatory continuing education on pain management. So we stand out there. We also stand out on our Good Samaritan law. We were the first state to implement a Good Samaritan law, which provides a degree of immunity from criminal charges for people who help others experience an overdose. We also have been a national leader with the use of naloxone, which is basically reverses overdoses and reverses respiratory depression associated with overdoses. And we were really at the forefront of this, and we're getting some credit for that as well.
In our local area, we've recently seen law enforcement team up with the Drug Enforcement Administration to conduct anonymous collection and disposal drives for unwanted or expired prescription drugs. Is that also part of the effort bringing about change?
That's an important part of this. It's clearly part of the mix. Basically, all states have that. So that's not one of the policy initiatives that was reviewed by this. And I would just like to emphasize that this has a lot to do with what we've implemented in terms of program. It doesn't reflect on how we're doing with our drug overdose death rate. Our drug overdose death rate is still a huge issue in the state. We are number two in the country after West Virginia for having the highest rate. And while we've improved, our rate has dropped, our drug overdose death rate has dropped 7%, along with the amount of opioids, prescription opioids that are prescribed, has also dropped 7%. While both of those changes are very positive, we still have a long way to go. But what this report does is suggest that New Mexico is in the forefront of implementing good policies to address the problem. Now, we haven't implemented all the necessary policies, but we're headed in the right direction.
And tell us more about how doctors and pharmacies engage in the battle to fight prescription drug abuse.
Well, that's the prescription monitoring program. The Board of Pharmacy has put that in place in the state. We have an excellent prescription monitoring program. So what should happen in most of these instances, doctors seeing a new patient, doctors seeing a patient he or she will put on chronic pain meds for a long period of time. The prescription monitoring program should be checked by the physician. It also can be checked by the pharmacy, by the pharmacist, to assure that we don't have a situation where that patient has actually gotten the same medication five times in the last week from five different physicians. So this is really the prescription monitoring program is really at the forefront and is really a core policy intervention that we've implemented in the state to address this problem. Now, the part of the issue is we need more healthcare providers to use the system. They're required to sign up. They're not all required to use it. We have two boards, the optometry board and the osteopathic medical examiner board, who have not implemented their rules yet requiring healthcare providers to check the prescription monitoring program in certain instances. So they need to those rules need to be implemented. They're scheduled to be implemented, but they just haven't been implemented yet.
And you mentioned earlier that even more might be accomplished in reducing drug abuse rates if policies and laws had more substance to them. How do you and the Department of Health use your data and statistics to begin to build support in the legislature for changes in these laws?
I think both the executive branch and the legislature has been very interested in this issue and have been very open to the information that we have in terms of tracking the changes in the epidemic of prescription drug overdose, also our responses to it. The governor has an advisory council that works to reduce drug overdose and improve pain management. And this advisory council meets regularly and has made a number of recommendations which are reflected in these policies that have been evaluated. That's one of the key mechanisms for input to the policymaking process here in New Mexico.
Final thoughts from you today?
This reflects well on New Mexico's policy interventions. However, we have a lot more work to do. New Mexico has led the nation in drug overdose death, with the exception of 2 years, since 1992. And we are number two. So we're no longer number one, but we're number two. And we need to continue to persist to implement appropriate policy interventions, new policy interventions, and we need to stay on top of this problem because it's not going away anytime soon.
Michael Landon, state epidemiologist with the Department of Health, thank you for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Hello, this is Tom O'Connor, music director of Santa Fe Pro Musica, inviting you to hear the Jasper String Quartet live in concert on Sunday, November the 10th at 3 p.m. in St. Francis Auditorium. This phenomenal award-winning ensemble served as artists in residence at the Oberlin Conservatory. The Classical Voice of North Carolina says about the Jaspers, their technical skills are of the highest caliber and their musicality is without flaw. This excellent ensemble will perform Haydn's String Quartet in D Major, Opus 76, No. 5, Largo, and the Sarabande from the String Quartet No. 2 of Aaron J. Kernis, and end with Beethoven's String Quartet in C-sharp minor, Opus 131. For tickets, call Santa Fe Pro Musica at 988-4640 or the Lenzic at 988-1234. For more information, please visit santafepromusica.com. Pro Musica is a tax-exempt organization.
The Santa Fe County Treasurer's Office is making it a little easier to pay property taxes. Here's KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard with the story.
The Santa Fe County Treasurer's Office is making it a bit easier for residents to pay their property taxes by offering a number of satellite office locations. Patrick Varela is the county treasurer for Santa Fe.
When I was actually doing door-to-door and campaigning outside of the city of Santa Fe, many people were asking questions like, you know, I have a lot of problems finding parking at Santa Fe, or it's a lot of problems on our family to go to Santa Fe. So they asked if, you know, if there would be a way that they could pay in some other form, either a bank or some other locations. And I told them, well, you know what, if I'm elected, I'll promise I'll look into something to see if I can come out to the outskirts of Santa Fe throughout the county to try and help the constituents out. So when I got in office, we looked at different options and got with our IT folks and our county management, of course, and legal, and to find if there was any problems with doing it and what we can do to approach it. So, of course, we weren't able to do it the second half, which would have been the April May tax bill, because we're still working on it. But we finally got all our T's and Q's in a row, and we're doing it now, starting now, and see how it turns out.
He says collections thus far have been brisk.
I think our percentage is like 1% of non-collectibles, either delinquencies or unlocatable. So we've been actually doing good. And the former treasurer, Victor Montoya, he had he started doing delinquencies and trying to outreach to people that were unlocatable. So, of course, I've been following that as well, that methodology as well. You know, these times are hard for people in general, so, you know, people are going to get behind, and, you know, that's understandable.
The treasurer doesn't foresee any rise in the property tax rate in the near future.
We're not foreseeing anything at the moment. There's some legislation out, but that's going to be coming out this year, but it's mainly to clean up some existing language and some of the bills that we have to follow by.
For more information, go to the county website or call the office directly.
They can either, first of all, we have it on our website, which is the SantaFeCounty.gov website. They can call our office, and we can give them all the schedule information. We have it posted at several of the satellite offices. There was an error that was printed. There was a misprint that we're actually going to Glorieta twice, the 8th and Friday the 20th. But that one didn't get in there, but we're actually hitting it twice. So we got actually a couple of calls from residents in Glorieta because the sign said one thing in the paper and the article and the website said something different, so that was just a typo. The best phone number to get us is 505-986-6245.
Patrick Varela, Santa Fe County Treasurer. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
The Santa Fe Art Institute presents SFAI 140, one evening, 20 inspiring talks, 140 seconds each. Join SFAI for an evening of creativity and conversations, November 21st, 7 p.m. Learn more at sfai.org or call 424-5050. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Art Institute.
33 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Governor Susana Martinez last week announced her selection of Vicky Perea to the New Mexico House of Representatives District 50 seat that was vacant due to the summer's death of former state representative Stephen Easley. Rejoining us here at the mic is KSFR's Tom Trowbridge. Tom, you spoke with the newly appointed state representative today, correct?
Dan, that's right, and I began our conversation by asking Vicky Perea about her experience.
Well, Tom, first of all, let me say to you that I appreciate you reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to speak to you and to the folks within your listening range. As far as the appointment, I'll tell you, I'm honored. And I appreciate the opportunity that the governor has given me to serve New Mexicans and specifically the people of Bernalillo County and Santa Fe and Torrance and Valencia.
Career-wise, Representative Perea calls herself a finance person with much experience in that arena.
Well, Tom, I was an administrator for the city of Albuquerque, and what I did is I managed the city's capital improvement program. The capital outlay is how it's referred to in the legislature. And I was responsible for managing over $759 million at that time of the city's capital funds. It included everything from the general obligation bonds to the revenue bonds. And the revenue bonds were for water and sewer and the airport in Albuquerque and garbage collection. So my experience has been in finance and specifically in putting the capital program together.
Perea also served on the Albuquerque City Council. House District 50 comprises portions of Santa Fe, Bernalillo, Sandoval, and Valencia counties.
The nice part about that is they're all east of the mountain, starting off in Valencia County, and I'll just swing around and make sure that I make my way into circuit all the way around and have the opportunity to listen to the constituents in every single one of those counties that I'm going to be representing. I want to hear them. I want to hear what the concerns are. I want to hear what the needs are. and then I want to get to work and represent him.
Perea says she's hitting the ground running in preparation for the 2014 30-day legislative session that starts in January.
What I need to do is listen. I want to meet with folks, and I want to be able to extend myself to the elected officials within those respective counties as well. So I'm on a learning curve, and I'm going to spend the time in each one of those areas so that I can hear what's going on.
Perea is a Republican, but she used to identify herself as a Democrat. I asked her what prompted such a change.
Well, you know, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, Tom. It left me. So a lot of the issues that are germane to me and that are the platform of both of the parties are essential when it comes to my husband and I. And as we reviewed the party, it wasn't the same party that my dad was in. And I come from a family of Democrats, long line.
Perea, despite her change in party affiliation, says that titles and descriptions aren't important to her.
What's germane to being the representative is getting into the district and finding out, what do my counties need? What are the necessities within each one of those counties? And what can I do to help them? And that I'm ready to do, Tom.
Perea, who hasn't officially been sworn in to her new post, that'll happen soon, will serve the remainder of Representative Eastley's term.
When you hold this kind of office, you have to take it seriously, and it's a tremendous responsibility. I don't take this appointment lightly at all. I want to work hard, and I want to do a good job, and I want people to know that I'm in there fighting for them.
Perea says she's prepared to take on her new post.
And I think as far as credentials are concerned, my resume will be on my website. I would encourage people to look at what I've done in the past, because it's rather extensive. And I'm poised, and I'm prepared. And I'm rolling up my sleeves, and I'll work hard.
Newly appointed State Representative Vicky Perea. For KSFR, I'm Tom Tropridge.
12:38 now here in the KSFR newsroom, and we are well past the bottom of the hour. It's time now to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
What do you think? How does this sound to you? I'm thinking of getting Lifestyle Lift. Sounded pretty good, didn't it? Christopher and Lifestyle Lift. Of course, as you probably know, Lifestyle Lift does not directly lift your lifestyle. It lifts your neck and face. Not away from your neck and face. Everything stays attached. It's like a facelift, because that's kind of what it is. And I guess after your face gets lifted, it's supposed to be logical that your lifestyle gets lifted. I have a friend who had a Lifestyle Lift. I'm not sure why she did. I mean, she was already a beautiful woman. But I guess as the years go by, we look back on what once was our face and see comparisons and imperfections that others don't. I'm glad my friend got a Lifestyle Lift only because it made her happy. The problem with me getting a Lifestyle Lift is that, yeah, my neck and face would be lifted higher, but I'd still look the same, and that wouldn't lift anyone's lifestyle. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Tom Trowbridge and Charles Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico for you. And as always, we hope you join us.